Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to a special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. This is a spotlight episode that we are going to be beginning to do here more regularly. We're calling it Doing Good Atlanta, and we're going to be featuring the nonprofit organizations here and around the metro area who are doing good for their community and their backyard. I'm your host today, Ryan McPherson, and sitting alongside me is producer Alex Gossett-Shifley. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
Great to see you again. Thanks for keeping us straight here on the boards and making everybody sound as good as they can, like rock stars here on today's show. So let's introduce our guest here today. First, let's say hello to Jim Hamm. He's Executive Director for Special Populations Tennis Program. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Ryan.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing well this morning. Yourself?
Fine. Thank you so much. Please tell our listeners a little bit about Special Populations Tennis Program.
Well, we're a nonprofit that teaches tennis to children and adults with intellectual disabilities around Metro Atlanta, and we enrich their lives through the lifetime sport of tennis.
And tennis is huge here in Atlanta, for sure.
Atlanta enjoys the reputation of being the largest tennis community in the world.
I did not know that. Is that right?
That's correct.
So everybody from youngsters to seasoned tennis players are out there hitting the courts every weekend.
If they have a heartbeat, they play tennis.
Okay. Well, fantastic. We look forward to hearing more about that and how people can help and what it's like for you to be involved with it, why you're so passionate. So please stick with us as we now turn our attention to Megan Bowman. She's with Angels Among Us Pet Rescue.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. So thankful to be here. We appreciate the opportunity.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming on in. Yes. And tell our listeners about Angels Among Us Pet Rescue.
Well, we're excited to be here today and talk about something that's near and dear to our heart. And those are homeless dogs and cats who find themselves, unfortunately, in shelters without homes or families to love them. So we are the largest foster-based rescue in the Southeast and have been really honored and privileged to have had an opportunity, thanks to our community, to save more than 10,000 animals in the last 7 years.
Well, if there's one thing about people here in Atlanta, they might love more than tennis, and that would be animals.
Yes.
So I look forward to hearing more about that and how people get involved and how you're just changing the world one pet at a time.
That's the goal.
All right. And also joining us on the program today is Mr. Todd Shiflett. How are you, Todd?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. And he is CEO of Georgia Highlands Medical Services. So tell us about that organization.
So first of all, we are a community health center. That means one core thing. That means we serve the people that have nowhere else to go, that have no insurance.
Okay.
So we're providing primary medical care, pediatrics, women's health care, and other services to people that are uninsured. Mm-hmm. Been doing that since about 1979. Started out in Forsyth County, now serving more than 14,000 people. Mm-hmm. I will say that a community health center isn't a free clinic. We're not serving people for free. We expect them to pay something, but we never turn anybody away for money.
Okay.
So it's a pretty good model that's been going on for a pretty long time. We love what we do. We love the mission that we do, and we love serving people.
Well, that's interesting, because I didn't think you were allowed to be uninsured in this country anymore. But there are uninsured people.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you want me to go into all that information.
No, we don't have to get political about it. But I think in a lot of a larger audience's mind, I thought this was not as large of an issue as it once was.
It still is, especially in the Southeast, especially in Georgia. I can sort of go into the details of why that's the case. But the short version is, as part of the Affordable Care Act, Georgia and several other states decided not to expand Medicaid. So people that want to sign up on Obamacare, and it's not really Obamacare, right, it's a health insurance exchange, aren't able to because the Medicaid didn't go up in the state.
Okay.
I mean, I can get more into detail about that.
Well, we just want to give a broader picture of what Georgia Highlands and the services you're offering and how people come to you, and if you could tell our listeners about that.
Again, we provide primary care, pediatrics, women's health, some other things. We're going to be providing behavioral health services in the future. Again, it's been here since 1979, but our biggest challenge is, you know, we've seen all this growth in Atlanta, especially in the counties that we serve, primarily Forsyth County and Cherokee County and Bartow County. Mm-hmm. But also we've seen the low-income population grow that people don't like to talk about a good bit. So we've watched the low-income population grow by double over the last 10, 15, 20 years. And if you remember, in Forsyth County especially, I mean, the population was like 27,000 a few decades ago. Now it's over 200,000.
Wow.
And that growth has been great for education and business growth and regionalization. But again, it's also caused some low-income population not to be served as much as they can. I will say that the Atlanta area has been very, and I've only been here 9 months, 12 months, something like that. I've been very sort of pleased by what I think is a really caring community. You've got lots of nonprofits that are doing a really good job trying to be the safety net for people that have nowhere else to go. And I think that's extremely important also for the business community, especially in the case of healthcare. We're the people that are keeping the workers healthy, keeping them able to go to work. Also, you know, we were talking about this earlier before we came on air, but, you know, some nonprofits work strictly on volunteer.
Right.
Medical care is not really able to do that very well.
No, you need licensed professionals.
Right. And there are free clinics around, and they do a pretty good job, but the number of people that need primary care that aren't getting primary care. For example, in the area that I serve, only 6% of the people that are low income or actually have a family doctor. So that means most people are using the emergency room as their primary care doctor.
Yeah, and that's not the place to go.
No, it's costing the whole system a lot more money than it should.
Yes.
But it's also not very good for the health of the people.
Right. But you're a little different. Like you said, you have licensed professionals on staff. You have a brick and mortar building that people go to, but you're still a nonprofit. Where does most of your funding come from?
So that's the thing. I will say that we are not a federal agency. We are not a state agency. We do receive a federal grant that I write every year,
which
is about 100 pages long.
Yep.
Right. And we wanted to bring in that topic a little bit from each one of you here in a moment about grant writing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have to write that grant every year. And I'll tell you that our uninsured population is nearly 60%. That grant is a third of our operating budget. So just do the math in terms of how we have to stretch money out, as well as have to do a lot of sort of fundraising like other nonprofits do. The other difference between, say, my nonprofit and the other nonprofits, or most of the nonprofits, is I get program income.
Anybody, what does that mean?
Anybody can come to Georgia Highlands if you have Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. So we try to make up for what we can't in uninsured.
Yeah, by using insured, using your services.
Yeah, that helps us sort of supplement what we can do in terms of serving more people.
So, So if you're out there and you're looking for services and you're, it's convenient, go to Georgia Highlands Medical.
Before I forget, we also have a pharmacy now.
Okay.
And that pharmacy is helping us sort of supplement the uninsured as well.
So getting prescriptions filled of all kinds for medical needs for folks.
And it's a retail pharmacy. Anybody can use it. I guarantee we can provide good service, good people, good prices.
All right. Fantastic. And so but have you always been personally involved with nonprofits? I know you, you just came to take on this role as CEO of the organization, but tell a little bit about your background there.
Yeah. For 16 years, I served as sort of a development officer for another community health center in South Carolina. Probably one of the biggest in South Carolina, especially probably one of the biggest in the nation as well. Before that, I was actually a magazine editor.
Okay.
For a business magazine, believe it or not.
Okay.
And before that, I was actually a professor.
So you're like on Todd 4.0 over here right now, right?
How I got to healthcare and how I got to nonprofits, more of a calling than anything else.
Yeah. Right. To have that mission in life, that kind of path, that clear kind of guidance that you know fulfills you morally and spiritually or for whatever reasons, and then tie that into, you know, putting some money in your pocket too. I mean, you get paid, right?
Yeah, I do. I sometimes wonder whether I'm going to be able to pay for my kids' college education, but
that's all right. We'll put Alex to work if we need to.
Those of us in nonprofit do it because we care.
It's never about the money.
Well, let's talk to you for a moment, Megan, about that.
Sir.
When did you get involved personally with Angels Among Us Pet Rescue?
I am one of the earlier volunteers from the early days, as we call it. But I moved to Atlanta about 6 years ago due to a relocation for my husband's career. And at the time, we were looking for a family pet. And coming from the D.C. area where I was born and raised, I was used to having shelters, but not an incredible pet overpopulation problem. And so we made a family decision that we wanted to save an animal. Through the beauty of internet, we started looking for pets. I found Angels that way and decided that instead of just adopting the animal, I wanted to try to help volunteer in the capacity of a foster. And I started transporting animals on what we affectionately call their freedom rides, which is when we pull them literally out of the shelter from death row and get them directly into a vet. And it was through that experience as a transporter, when you're literally walking the line and you see the tenor and the energy, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. Once you are in that environment and you see it and you smell it and you feel it, these are animals that have absolutely no voice. Most of them are there due to no fault of their own, and most of them are highly adoptable. So the deeper I got in and the more volunteer opportunities I had, I really felt very passionately and personally that I wanted to bring my nonprofit background in to help this incredible organization. So I went to graduate school up in Virginia, got a degree in nonprofit management with a concentration in philanthropy, and started my career as an executive director for the Red Cross, but kind of did a reversal from you and felt like development was more really where I wanted to focus my career. And so to me, it's just been an incredible opportunity, because it's really never about the dollars and cents. It's never about me asking anyone for money. It's about supporting the mission. And in our circumstance, it's saving lives of innocent animals who truly have no voice other than ours. Mm-hmm. So I kind of back-ended into it, but I've been with Angels for about 5 years and just continue to get inspired and motivated every day by the generosity of people, not just in Atlanta, but through the incredible miracle of social media, fans from all over the globe. And I'm so proud of our name, Angels Among Us, because really, these donors are angels to the dogs and cats whose lives we're able to save. And we are incredibly grateful for that.
Yeah, certainly resonate That's with correct. That here as well. But you guys, you know, here in Atlanta, you can have be a guy with a clipboard and call yourself a rescue organization.
Right.
You know, but you guys have really separated yourself among the noise out there, being
Thank
professional,
you.
doing good work. Woo! So what do you attribute a lot of that success to?
I think all great nonprofits start with incredible passion and dedicated founders. And we certainly have a handful of individuals who just have given such a nudge to the organization as a whole, and who still are deeply entrenched in a lot of the day-to-day operations, but also have embraced an opportunity to bring in others with different areas of expertise, because this is much more than a hobby now. You know, we're a $3.5 million nonprofit, and honoring donor integrity and making sure that we have solid business practices, it's our right and our obligation and our privilege. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have brought in incredible talent, grant writers, you know, corporate folks, executives who all volunteer their time. We're 98% managed by volunteers, which is something that we're incredibly proud of, because that allows us to put more of those donations back into the care of the animals that we're so privileged to rescue. And so through that talent pool of expertise, you know, we really have sat down as a board, done a strategic planning session. You know, we've earned a gold rating with GuideStar, and we're just chosen as one of the nation's most trusted charities. So, you know, we have an overwhelming mission to rescue one until there are none. But, you know, you see these incredibly damaged, broken animals. In fact, just last night, there were 4 kittens that were literally glued to a rat trap and left to die. And so we're working on those. A Good Samaritan found them and brought them to animal control, and they will live. But you see such ugliness and evil in the world, and it's very easy to get frustrated and depressed. But then you see the world come together and say, good will always triumph evil. And so through volunteer fosters and through donors and through just incredible gratitude and commitment, we are making a difference. And 10,000 animals are alive today. In fact, 600 just since January 1st. And so we know we have a lot of work to do, but a lot of work has been done. And so we're really, really excited about what the future holds.
And we are too. And we need to start working on some legislative issues
yes.
and get at the State House to pass some laws
yes.
so that people will not do the things they do, not only because it's immoral, but also because it's illegal. And,
right.
and I think we're getting some traction in that area. So hopefully getting things lined up for the next legislative season next year
yes.
to make Georgia Georgia front runner, like we are in many other areas here.
Yes.
We need to be that for animal rights as well. So
agreed.
So now back to Jim Hamm, executive director with Special Populations Tennis Program. Been in Atlanta since 1959 and has seen this city change and grow. Seen this city become a number one destination for tennis players. But he's helping those out there with intellectual disabilities to enrich their life through tennis. Why are you so passionate about tennis?
Well, I think certainly I've been passionate about sports throughout my life, but the attraction to tennis is that some of the team sports, these individuals that perhaps are less gifted athletically, you can put them on a softball field and you can hide them if you want to. Mm-hmm. But if you're on a tennis court, you can't hide.
Right.
You've got to be actively involved. And what we found is that the heart of the tennis player never forgets who got them started in that sport. And what we offer to those individuals now is a chance to be that person in someone else's life. Mm-hmm. And so we have over, we refer to our individuals as athletes, mm-hmm. and the others as coaches. So the coaches and athletes total around 1,300 in 14 different locations around Atlanta. Because of the active tennis community, we're able to go to some of Atlanta's premier country clubs, Standard Club, Country Club of Roswell, Lifetime Tennis, as well as go to some of the public parks, whether it be in Fair Oaks in Cobb County or down in Peachtree City Tennis Center, who open up their facilities and allow these athletes to come in. And our motto is play tennis, make friends, and live life.
I like
it. And so they come to us originally to play tennis. While they're there, they're going to make a lot of friends, because we not only play here in Atlanta, we travel around the Southeast to play. And so they have friends in South Carolina, Massachusetts, and other areas of the nation that otherwise they wouldn't have had a chance. I think most of us can remember what it was like when we were in school and we got to go on a field trip, or we were going to go play against somebody we had never played against before. This gives them a chance to have that same experience. And so we feel like that you're able to come to this sport and become not only a person who is involved in the sport, but that you begin to build a relationship with the individuals, whether they're volunteers or other athletes. And then when you see that individual at Kroger, or you see them out in your community, all of a sudden, now that's not a person, that's someone you know and can relate to.
Yeah, that's a friend that you've made out there on the tennis courts. And I grew up playing tennis, grew up here in Atlanta, played over at Chastain Park as a youngster over there, and really enjoyed it. And now live up in Alpharetta and go by Wills Park all the time.
Oh, yeah.
People out there
playing. You're in my neighborhood.
Yeah, playing tennis all the time out there. Yeah. What do you need more of at Special Pops Tennis? Do you need more tennis players? Do you need more volunteers? Do you need more funding, or all of the above, or something I'm not even thinking about?
Well, I think certainly all of the above, but while we're the largest such organization in the nation, with our 600 athletes and 650-700 volunteers, we're only reaching about 30% of the metro Atlanta area.
Okay, so you need more coverage area to get right. more access to some of these individuals, to expose them to Special Pops Tennis.
Right, and that coverage would include the volunteers, as well as the getting the word out to the athletes themselves. And we don't charge anything for our program. So it's while it's free to the athletes, it's certainly not free. So we looked to businesses as well as the grant opportunity and individual donors to help support us.
And Atlanta's probably very supportive of that. The tennis community, just the overall giving community here in Atlanta, because everybody enjoys doing good for that. Do you have any events coming up or places people can find you here soon?
Well, we've got all 14 sites are active right now on weekly training. And so going to our website at specialpopstennis.org, you can find out where those sites are, and certainly feel free to go out as a volunteer or If you have a child or a neighbor has an intellectual disability and may benefit from participating in the program, bring them out, sign them up, and get them playing the sport that would not only change their life, but it'll change the life of that family.
I'm sure it would, too. And speaking of events, I know, Megan, Angels has events almost every week.
We do.
So can you talk to us about that and why it's so important to stay so active in the community?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really, Atlanta is such an incredible community, but it's a big spread out community. And so part of how we've been able to share our brand is through events. So we do have a couple of coming up that I'd like to mention. This Sunday, we have a canines and cocktails function at Henry's in Midtown.
All right.
That's sponsored by Tito's Vodka. And there's usually about 1,000 people that funnel through there. It's definitely one of those events that the community has come to know and love. One of our founders, Luann Farrell, will be creating a dish at Davio's Cooks for Charity on the 27th of April. We also have a big presence at the Taste of Town Brookhaven, which is on May 14th. And we're looking forward to our first ever Fast and the Furious 5K Saturday, June the 4th.
Well, are you running in that yourself?
Of course, I bet. With my kids.
And I'll be signing up with my dog. I'll run with my dog.
And, and dogs are absolutely yes. welcome. We rely a lot on events, and we have just a tireless event director who does such a great job because we do not have a facility. We're very non-traditional in our business model, and so we have about 650 families in and around Atlanta that meet some very stringent guidelines that are put forth by the Department of Agriculture. And those fosters are the ones that help the animals that we rescue get well enough to go into their forever homes. Mm-hmm. So with that lack of facility, you know, we're figuring out different ways to manage the organization. And we may at some point opt to get a building, but right now, we're very comfortable with that business model because, you know, we refer to it as cage to couch versus cage to cage. So literally the dogs and cats that are slated to be euthanized are taken right out of the shelter, right to a vet. They get a head to toe exam. And then our ability to save lives really hinges upon the community's involvement, both through donations and through foster homes. So we use a lot of these community-based events and functions to try to spread our mission, to show the impact of donor dollars at work through some of the animals whose lives have been saved, and hopefully to encourage people in the community who don't know about us and what we do to consider saving a life by making that leap of faith and being a foster. So, you know, we pay for all the medical expenses. If there's any training necessary, you know, we cover all of that. But it's up to the foster just to create that really warm, nurturing environment to help heal the animals.
And that's great.
What happened to your chair?
My chair just kind of got low on me, though.
Woo!
Okay.
That's
no,
great.
No, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that is funny.
Lost a little of the hydraulics over here, I think. Low ride a little bit. So
chair foul.
What happens in radio.
Yeah, that's right. So glad we are on radio, not on TV.
Yeah.
I might be on America's Funniest Home Videos after that one.
You covered it so well. Though.
Thank you so much. Try to play it off there for sure. Yeah. But I was going to talk about social media here and how important that is, not only for Angels to help get the word out, but for everyone here. So we'll start with you, Todd. Talk to us about social media and how it integrates to your whole mission there.
Again, we were talking in the lobby before we came on about how it's really hard to justify spending advertising money as a nonprofit, because every time you spend advertising money, so I could be helping that animal or that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also say it's always nice to be in a room with other nonprofits.
Yes.
It also makes
Agreed.
Me feel so much better about we spend so much time with our heads down sometimes
That's
just
right.
serving. And we see we're saving lives every day. I'll speak into the mic. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
we're saving lives every day or helping people every day. And we see that. But when we get in the room with other people like us, I think it's always a great thing.
It is.
But yeah, in terms of your question, social media is crucial now. Thank God for it now, because we can really help get the word out. Us at Georgia Highlands are using it almost daily in terms of trying to get more awareness about what we're doing daily, trying to put success stories on there about people that we're helping, that kind of thing. And again, just trying to raise money and just awareness.
Yeah.
It helps in that.
So if our audience wanted to connect with you on social media, how would they do so?
That's a good question. I can do the website. Yeah. It's www.ghms-inc.org.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the Facebook page, but I'll.
But you can find it through the website. There.
Yeah,
Facebook,
yeah, it's
Twitter,
right. Little right. Facebook page, little icons right there when you go into the webpage.
And speaking of Facebook, I think that's got to be your main two social media network for you.
Unbelievable. And as a business, we're really starting to explore, you know, the benefits. And there are a couple of drawbacks, but we're working through that. We have almost 1 million followers on Facebook.
Wow.
And part of what is so unique about our organization is when the group first started, one of our initial founders, Lisa Zambaca, and her daughter, Karen, they were at the beach, and we learned about an urgent animal. And Facebook was really just starting to evolve as a social media platform. So they realized that this was an animal whose life was in jeopardy, and they kind of wrap their brain around how exactly must this dog feel at this moment? Because there have been all sorts of behavioral analysis done on animals. They do feel pain. I mean, there's therapy dogs. They're incredibly intuitive. And so they put a picture up on a brand new Facebook that the organization created, and they spoke through the voice of the animal. And they tried to get their head in the space of what that dog must be thinking. And it went viral.
Wow.
And over time, through the power of a share button, the world made a really strong collective statement that suffering of any type is unnecessary and unacceptable. So the organization just grew exponentially. And that was a wonderful, wonderful thing through secure online giving. What we're experiencing now as a business is because of our impact in social media, other avenues of traditional nonprofit fundraising, i.e. grants and corporate giving, events, et cetera, were not pursued as heavily as probably they would have if the organization had started with a different first chapter. And Facebook is now really changing their algorithms, if you will. And while they're philanthropic, there's much more of a pay-to-play type philosophy for organizations like ours that have just grown exponentially through their platform. And we feel very strongly that we will not pay to advertise or market. If a company chooses to sponsor us, great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we want to make sure at least 91 to 92 cents of every donor dollar that is spent is going directly into the care of the animals. And so while social media has been incredible and it's an extremely efficient tool to spread our message en masse, now that they are making tweaks, we're seeing substantial pullback, fewer people seeing the posts, donations are down, and animals are dying. Mm-hmm. And that's really unfortunate. So, you know, our board is having strategic sessions right now to kind of figure out how can we adjust our business model, not only to continue to save more lives, but also to focus on alternate income streams to ensure our long-term sustainability.
Well, I think Facebook should adjust their business model to accommodate nonprofits, because there's no reason to think they should charge them the same as if I'm out there trying to sell socks.
Right. Exactly. Right. And really, at the end of the day, you know, we're not selling you a pair of sneakers.
No,
people are making an incredibly generous offer sometimes their last couple of dollars, because they have the sense of satisfaction that that selfless gift is saving a life.
Yeah.
But it is sad. This is not an issue specific to just Angels Among Us. Nonprofits all over the globe are dealing with it. And I'm hoping task force will be created, you know, to talk to Facebook executives about it. Because it definitely is, we're seeing a pretty profound impact on our ability to serve our mission.
And Jim, for you and Special Pops Tennis Program, how effective or important is social media for you in sharing the success that you are able to show to some of your athletes?
Well, it's extremely important. We benefited from having a board member when we first started was with the Coca-Cola company was with their helped drive their social media and helped us better understand the value of that platform. And so we were able to quickly leverage that. And now we find that, and our Facebook is Special Pops Tennis. And through that platform that we're able to reach tens of thousands of people that otherwise you're printing flyers or you're on telephones or, you know, like you said, I've been here since 59. So the old schoolers like myself, what we would look to normally were that platform not available to us would be unaffordable.
Right. So it's super important to stay involved, stay connected, to make that part of your strategy as you try to reach more people and grow your organization around the metro Atlanta area. You mentioned you do have some corporate sponsorships and some private donations, but grant writing also is important to you as something I want to talk to all the guests here today, but we'll start with you. And that's a challenge in itself. Any kind of best practices you could give to our listeners when it comes to do's and don'ts of grant writing?
Well, certainly, you've got to have a good balance of being an artist and a scientist when you're trying to write those things.
Artist and a scientist.
It's so true.
Okay.
I would agree with that, too.
It's so true.
So once you're able to bring that balance, but what we look for is, first of all, either foundations or individuals out there that are offering the grant money that we're part of their target that they're trying to reach.
How do you find those organizations? Or is there like a hub or portal for all that?
Well, we do it largely through the Georgia Center for Nonprofits.
Okay.
And which is based downtown Atlanta. And they have a library of resources, and you just essentially do your homework there.
Right.
And target the organizations.
Google. Okay.
Google is amazing. Yeah. I mean, you can search for foundations that support specific missions,
right,
and
yeah,
boom, 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 up they come.
And then you find out which ones are available to you out there. Find out is there different types of writings for each grant that you have to do? Or is it like one style?
Yeah, it ranges from private sector, 3-page letters of interest to, you know, 100-page, you know, public sector funding sources. There are databases out there, but you know they cost money, and a lot of us don't pay,
right,
for those databases because it doesn't seem like it's worth it. But I would agree with the whole artistry / scientist. You've got to prove your need, first of all,
okay,
which sometimes is the hardest part and sometimes the easiest part. Right. We know the need's there. All of us do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But proving that to someone else.
Proving it to somebody else and getting them to understand that, you know, even though Forsyth County's got all this wealth, it also has all this poverty at the bottom too. So I mean, getting people to understand that sometimes difficult, mm-hmm, in my situation currently.
Mm-hmm.
But also being clear about what your strategy is. How are you going to impact what you're trying to do in terms of serving more people,
right,
or serving more animals or serving more kids.
Now, if you're a small startup, nonprofit, you know, you said you do all the grant writing. Is that something you would outsource to someone?
I would.
You would. So why can't you?
Maybe in the future I could.
Because it costs money.
It costs money.
I got you. So you do it for a cost saving.
And there are people out there that's what they do. They hang them up a shingle and they write grants for a living.
Yeah, we've had them here.
I found
studio.
One.
Okay. and that's what they do for a living. So you would rather outsource that type of work for you?
Well, I mean, she's amazing. Works in the educational sector, but is a professional full-time grant writer. And
is she volunteering her time?
Yep.
See, that's the key.
So, right. Right.
Yeah, we enjoy that same piece as far as the volunteer, as well as someone who is not only gifted, but has the heart for this mm-hmm. is how I want to help your nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
And so we take advantage of that skill set, but at the same time, we try to build upon that by when we're looking to volunteers, trying to seek what their interest is, because not everyone's interested in getting out there and trying to teach them how to hit a forehand,
right,
but they want to help the population, and so they have the heart for giving to the community, and they want to do that in whatever way they can, and so we find ways off the court to make that
happen.
It's
important to give them several avenues to get involved.
And I would emphasize that as well, especially for board members. I mean, the beauty of getting an attorney on your board, the beauty of getting somebody who's got financial experience on your board is invaluable.
Yeah.
In our case, we were sort of special because over 50% of our board members are patients. So just think about that for a second in terms of your clients or your board members. It really keeps us grounded, and we like that model.
What do you guys need more of there at Georgia Highlands Medical? Do you need more outreach, just more awareness? Or what are you trying to do on the horizon here?
I think we need more outreach. We've got a lot of things on the horizon. We did get a very big grant this year, and we're building or renovating a new building, actually the old Sheriff's Department in Forsyth County.
All right.
So we're going to expand pediatrics and expand OBGYN. We're going to start a geriatric practice because we see a great need for what I would call poor seniors, those people that are on Medicare as well as Medicaid. But also, I'm a big believer in behavioral health. I think we did our society a big disservice by separating behavioral health from primary care. I've seen the beauty of somebody in a doctor's office being walked down the hall to the behavioral health counselor because they started crying on them in the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. We should not, you know, there's still a stigma associated with behavioral health, not as much as it used to be.
There still is in the veterans community. I'm a veteran, so the behavioral health
definitely
side of
a veteran,
all of that.
And that's also on my horizon. I have just applied to be a veterans choice provider.
Great.
I'm a big believer in having local access to veterans.
Yes.
We get calls every day from veterans that can't make it into the city that want to come see us. And we see them. We're not seeing them for any money. With the veterans choice program, we are hoping the VA will pay us a little bit.
Right.
And they should.
Absolutely should. You know, veterans get paid just to go down to the VA hospital for a checkup. You get travel reimbursement. Yeah. So sometimes I just go to get paid.
So we're seeing them for free right now when they want to come see us. But we're never going to turn a veteran away.
No, that's great. So as you grow, as the organization grows and you need more outreach, you just need more funding,
more funding.
Awareness, right?
More awareness. I think everybody would say exactly the same thing. We need more money and more awareness.
So if listeners want to go to www.ghms-inc.org for more information, how to get involved, or if you need access to healthcare or know someone who does, that's a great, that person may not know or have that ability to be connected if they are, a little bit on the not being affordable to, having internet access or know if it's even available. So if you have a friend, a family member, a neighbor who needs help, get out there and touch them and let them know.
Most importantly, we see somebody come in every day that says, I didn't know you guys were even here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just need to get, and it goes back to advertising too. But
yeah, a little bit of marketing.
Much awareness as we possibly can. Now, I'm a big believer in being present in the community.
Yeah, so what are some events that maybe people could see y'all at coming up?
Yeah, we're going to be at the Forsyth County Chamber of Commerce, Business and Excellence Dinner next week. We try to do as much chamber stuff as we can
do. That's good.
So we can both touch base with business people as well as get the awareness out.
Are there any other partners in industry that maybe send, like youth groups, church organizations, other outreach programs?
I would be really remiss, and thank you for saying that. UPS has actually paid for our we're doing a sort of a rebranding stuff, and UPS has sort of paid for our rebranding strategy
Yay.
Over the last 3 months.
Thank you, UPS.
Yes. Yeah.
So congratulations, UPS.
Yeah. We love
Thank God I remembered. But they are a great partner with us.
Yeah, no, they're great. They do so much here in Atlanta. Their headquarters right here in our backyard. So, so thank you to UPS for all the good work they've been doing.
And all the corporations. Like I said, like when we first started, I've been very pleased with sort of the caring that comes out of the community here.
Well, you certainly are doing good here in Atlanta. So we thank you for being a guest on the program. Please come back and share some updates with us and our audience here in the near future. And look forward to more great things from you down the road. And Alex, she'll keep me up to date on whether you're behaving or not over there.
Truly appreciate the opportunity.
My pleasure. All right. And for Megan and for you, and so we've already mentioned a few events that are coming up and where people can find you.
Right.
Of course, connecting on Facebook is the best way to see what's you guys got something every week, whether it's a fundraising event. I did the big hairball a few years ago.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Thanks.
We all dressed up in 80s clothes
and
spiked our hairs up, danced to 80s music all night long. Yep. So
I'm actually leaving here to go to a site survey for our benefit in February.
Right.
So we're looking at different
already
locations
looking for that. So what do you need more of?
Well,
how can
I would
we help?
Say, just the plug for our website is www.angelsrescue.org. And on Facebook, it would be facebook.com/angelsrescue.
Yeah.
I guess in closing, Walt Disney once said, if you can dream it, you can do it. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite quotes. And I think, 7 years ago, our founders had a dream that every pet would have a home. It's a really ambitious goal. But, 800 volunteers stand behind that goal and really want to see that goal become a reality. So in terms of answering your question, Ryan, I would say the three most impactful ways that listeners could help us or the community as a whole would be, number one, to consider fostering an animal. We cover all medical expenses. We assign you with a mentor. We're a big organization, but we operate much like a family. And you can go on our website and see animals right now that need foster homes. We have every age, every breed, every size. There's something for everyone. The second way would be really to consider adopting a rescue animal, whether from Angels or any of the other wonderful rescues in our community. By adopting a rescue, you're really saving several lives, and that's an incredibly wonderful gift. And yes, I mean, it would be remiss of me not to encourage people to give the gift of life through their hard-earned donations. I mean, we just can't do this without the community, and in our situation, the globe. And, you know, we are the community's charity. We're the ones pulling the animals and getting them the medical attention, but we are really beholden to the wishes of our supporters. And so, you know, they really set the bar and the benchmark for what we can and cannot accomplish. So, you know, taxes are due, and I know I owed, and that wasn't happy. But as people are, you know, considering anyone who got a refund, you know, what do I want to do with this? What an incredible opportunity to maybe push some of that forward and pay it back in the community and help a charity that matters to mm-hmm. you, whether it's an animal one or any. There's so many great organizations out there. So that would be my third suggestion.
Very well said. We'll have all the information posted up on our website later here today, Atlanta Business Radio X, so you can connect with Angels Among Us Pet Rescue. And for my personal opinion, you can also vote this year at the ballot box. It's an election year. So know where your local legislator stands, as well as your state rep stand on this issue.
Yeah.
And if they don't at all, make them aware of it.
Yes.
Write them a letter. Give a phone call and get involved that way. If this issue is important to you, then definitely make it heard this year. In an election year.
And so thank you for that.
Yeah. So thank you, Megan, for joining us. Please come back and be a guest.
We'd love to.
And
we
look forward to more great things from you. And Mr. Ham, Special Pops Tennis. I know you're looking to expand around the Atlanta area, but if people want to get involved today, how would they do so?
Well, certainly we're available through the website. You can email us there or contact us by phone at 770-998-7826. And we'll find a site near you. And if there's not one near you, we'll perhaps start conversation on trying to build a relationship with a venue there, because we know there's a tennis court nearby mm-hmm. if you're in Atlanta.
Yes.
And we depend greatly on people's not only their time and talent, but their treasures as well. You mentioned in the backyard here, Alta Foundation. They're a huge tennis organization, largest in the world. Again, USTA, which is a tennis association. Their southern section is here in Atlanta. We benefit greatly from these organizations as well as other business sponsorships. But what really sustains us is the individual donors.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so more donations, more involvement, more outreach for sure. And you're right. There are a lot of tennis courts around Atlanta. I usually go find them. I walk the dog near them so she can find lost tennis balls so she can take them home with her. We find them all by Wills Park all the time.
Absolutely.
She loves tennis balls. So
try to get them before the horses do.
That's right. So, well, thank you so much, Jim, for coming in and being a guest. If we can help you amplify your voice or further your message to the community anymore, let us know. We'd be happy to do so. And we'll have all your information posted up on AtlantaBusinessRadio.com so our audience can get involved with you that way as well.
Thank you, Ryan, and you've certainly done that today.
Good deal. All right, and thank you, Alex, for keeping us straight here today. Thank you, audience, for joining us. If you know someone who would like to be part of Doing Good Atlanta, send us their name and their information through the website, businessradiox.com, and we'll have them on the show. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor, and on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.